Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up.
It's November 28th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet.
I'm turning pro, Chris. I'm announcing it.
I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, oh my God, Scott's going to go pro.
I am going to go pro.
There goes our business.
Well, yeah, our business is already gone, so that's why I'm going pro.
Oh, this is, and this is how you let me know? Thanks.
And what's even best is that we're taping this show a week in advance because of Thanksgiving holiday. Because
we know over Thanksgiving that everything's going to collapse.
So I'm giving you a whole week to let you know that I'm going to be turning pro. No, Chris, obviously that would be silly of me to turn pro.
But you look just like the guy we're talking about.
Exactly. My good friend Blair Rodman, my separated at birth, 20 years difference.
Is he really your good friend? Have you ever met him?
Everybody is my good friend until they give me a reason not to be my good friend.
That's an awesome, healthy, see, I like that. Healthy outlook on life, Scott.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't believe you. But that's fantastic.
No, but so anyhow, what we're talking about here is the good folks at Las Vegas Advisor, and you know, I'm always fond of their stuff there. One of the recent questions of the day, somebody submitted.
QOD.
Exactly.
Yep.
Was thinking about picking up the family jalopy and driving out to LV and becoming a pro poker player.
Arching and gang in tow, becoming and, a pro player.
Of course, this letter writer was the first one to come up with this grand idea. You know, no one else is out there thinking about chucking it all and going to Las Vegas.
Yeah, right.
So anyhow, so that was the question, and Anthony Curtis turned to his good friend, and I know they are good friends, Blair Rodman, who is a pro poker player,
yep,
and asked him to answer the question. And Chris, the answer is shocking.
It is?
No, it's not.
I didn't think it would be.
It's exactly what she thought it would be.
Yeah. Don't do it.
A lot of doom and gloom,
mm-hmm,
from Blair. And you know, I don't want to go through all this because I think most of our listeners know the answers here. But there are a couple things that he mentioned that were interesting. One, the economy right now. Okay. Probably a reason a lot of people were thinking about doing it, you know, because they probably got laid off or whatever, and, you know, hey, now's the time to try it. But he says what's going on with the economy, and we're talking the macro sense, is affecting the poker economy because people are, there's not as much fish money coming into poker.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't make a living off the players who are better than you.
Exactly. So people are having to drop down in limits to find games to play if you're a pro already.
Right.
And that keeps going down. So the lower level games are tougher than they used to be.
Yep.
And it's the trickle down effect.
That's very interesting. And it makes a lot of sense. People aren't playing at all. Or if they are playing, they're playing lower limits where you can't really make a living on it. And we've seen it all. I mean, you know, you've seen the total entries for, you know, these circuit events. You know, the one at Lake Tahoe was like 130 people. You know, the one that Coney won, the former World Poker Tour event that Coney won a few weeks ago was 100 people.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be 300, 500 or whatever. So obviously the economy is hitting everything. So turning pro right now would be a bad idea. Bad.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you have a huge bankroll and you're able to withstand it.
Yeah, unless Barry Greenstein's your dad.
And of course, real quick, that's what Blair said. Obviously, you need to have a huge bankroll, which is probably the biggest thing that people don't have.
Right.
And one thing I haven't seen before, but I kind of like this. He estimates that if you want to be a 2-5 no limit player, that the bankroll needs to be roughly the same as if you were going to be a 10-20 limit player.
Oh.
I've never seen that kind of, because that's always kind of a weird comparison, you know.
It's hard because of the 3x raise and the size of the pots versus the min. So yeah, that probably makes pretty good sense.
So yeah, so that was a new thing I've seen. And then, you know, in general, he just mentions, you know, whole tax implications and the fact that your bankroll is not just your bankroll, it's your, I mean, you have to have living expenses beyond that,
yep.
So, and poker players are known for not wanting to just live in the travel lodge in and eat ramen noodles. They like to be hanging out with Antonio and drinking the Cristal at the
club.
That's
right.
So,
that's right.
All that kind of stuff you have to factor in, and then, of course, if you want to become a tournament pro, wow.
Yeah. And forget it. That's like $1 million a year right there.
Even
just,
bigger.
Just in entries and travel.
Absolutely. But it's not a good time to become a pro,
but
if you are pondering a career change, you could become a dealer. Be on the other side of the felt.
And you mean poker dealer?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well,
I just want to make sure we're clear on that point.
I guess you could go that route, too, but I have no material for the show for that route.
You know, when the economy's down, people use more drugs. So I just want to make sure that we're not going that route there. So really, though, if you're going to be a dealer, what does it take? What does it take to be a good dealer?
Oh, well, and the reason that I brought this up is that there's a story in the Arizona Republic, and they interviewed a guy who runs the ABC Bartending and Casino School out in Tempe.
Okay.
And, of course, there are dealer schools all throughout the country. Lots of them here in the great state of Florida.
Yep.
But he said, you know, basically, you're taking money out of customers' pockets, so you want them to be happy about it.
That's right.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
Sure.
You know, no one likes the rake, but you have to put up with the rake. And you don't generally get excited about tipping, even though if the service is good, you don't mind it.
Right.
But that's exactly what he's saying, is you have to make the players realize that even though some of them are playing for a living or for fun, that dollar or more that you're kicking back to the dealer was well earned.
Yeah, kill them with kindness. Entertain them. That's what you're there for. It's like kind of like when you're a waiter or a waitress. You know, get in the mood of the table that night and, you know, make them have a good time while they're there, and you'll get more money at the end of the night. So
exactly.
Makes sense.
And here's a great quote. He said he picked out a former student who said is the perfect example, Chris, of what a dealer should be.
Okay.
He says he's, quote, excellent with the mechanics, of course, but a funny, fun, nice guy.
So I can't deal.
Yeah, no, you're dead in the water. DOA.
Oh, man.
But that's true. I mean, obviously, you don't want a dealer that's sloppy, no matter right. how fun they are. You got to have the basics. You got to be able to deal.
You know who'd be a good dealer?
Who?
Mike Faso.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that.
I can see Mike Faso as a dealer. He's pretty even-tempered. he's got great control of the cards. He shuffles really well. And I think with a little help of his personality, he could do it. That was funny, Scott. You're supposed to laugh at that. Don't be so concentrating on going on to the next topic.
No.
I said a little help with his personality. Da-dum-bum. You're supposed to say something there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you lost me at even-tempered.
You had me at hello. man. You know what it is? You're just so excited about this next one.
I am.
It continues from last week.
We teased a big announcement. Maybe big is probably the wrong word.
No, I think it's big.
A major announcement. Is major bigger than big?
Major is bigger than big.
Okay, so big. So we'll go back to big. A big announcement.
It's a big announcement. I like it. I'm real excited about it. But I'm going to let you run with the ball here. You're Barry
you're
Sanders.
The ball? All right, here we are. Drum roll, please. Saturday, January 31st.
Save the date.
At One Eye Jack's Poker Room at the lovely Sarasota Kennel Club will be the first Anti-Up Horse Course.
Horse Course, of course. Mr. Ed will not be in attendance.
That would be great. We couldn't get him, though. We tried. His appearance fee is outrageous.
You know what else, too? The cost in peanut butter alone to make him talk.
Exactly.
It was just outrageous.
Exactly. Yeah, we just couldn't get the numbers to work out. But anyhow, you know, we've been a big proponent. All of our longtime listeners know we've been a big proponent of games other than No Limit Hold'em on this show.
Yep.
And darn it, we're trying to spread this to the state of Florida now. And the best way to do it is to teach our fellow players here in the state how to play these games, and how to play them well. And what better way to do it than a live in-person seminar, Chris?
I totally agree. I think it's a great idea. And our good friend Sam down at One Eye Jack's held a horse tournament a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his players really enjoyed it, but they were frustrated because they really didn't understand the games outside of Hold'em and even maybe Omaha. But when it got to the stud games, they just felt out of place, and they wanted a little tutoring. So we thought, well, what better way to help this problem than to hold a seminar at his facility and get those players in there, and then anybody else who'd want to come down or come up or come over, come around, and learn a little bit with us. So we're pretty excited.
And he's going to have a horse tournament a little bit later after this, too, so it's good training for an actual real live horse tournament. And,
right.
of course, the $50,000 horse championship is just around the corner, Chris.
That's right. We're going to prepare you for that. Absolutely.
But very quickly, the details, a $249 tuition, and that gets you lots of value, Chris, not just meeting us and learning about all these great games. Right there, that's worth all that.
Right there, it's worth $300.
But we're also going to throw in lunch and...
continental breakfast?
A goodie bag of neat stuff. And Sam is going to throw in an $85 tournament voucher that you can use for the 1 o'clock tournament, which is going to be a no-limit hold'em satellite for the horse event that's coming up.
That very same day at 1 o'clock.
Or you could use it for the, he's got like a 3 or 3:30 tournament that's another kind of satellite. Or you can use it for any of his other.
Anytime you want. It's an $85 voucher coming out of the $249 price, plus lunch, plus goodies, plus raffle.
Yes, lots of raffle prizes. Forget about that, too.
Raffle
People
stuff,
love raffle prizes.
Any up t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and we also have some surprise guests we think they're going to be coming along.
As it
gets a little closer, we're going to clue you in on that. But really, I mean, for value, I've never seen a course like this for this price. And, you know, you don't have to worry about have it take too much of your time. You know, it's going to take, you know, four hours for the camp.
It's a one-day course.
One day course.
And you're done at ready to join the tournament at 1.
Right, 1 o'clock the tournament, so stick around and play in that. And we're going to have horse cash games, too, after that, too, as well, in case you don't want to play in the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if you get knocked out of the tournament. So it's going to be a very exciting day for us, and we're looking forward to it, because we've been to a lot of camps, and now this is our chance to give back to the community and to you know, dip our toe into the educational pool,
as you would
like to say, I guess.
See whether we're, our teaching skills go beyond a 1 week of bad humor and wrecking hands of the week.
And, you know, also, too, there's going to be a syllabus that, you know, sort of manual that you'll get to keep as well. So, really, that's a lot of stuff for $249.
Exactly. And if you'd like to register, go to anteupmagazine.com, and it will be very easy to find the page, and you can click and pay a credit card or PayPal. We'll make it really easy on you.
Yep.
And so I hope to see you in Sarasota.
And if you're in the area, too, I think that when it gets a little closer to it, they're going to be dealing satellites down there as well to try to get a seat. So all kinds of ways to come to the seminar. So we're real excited about that, and we'll keep you updated as we get closer and closer. But remember, January 31st, 2009, save the date.
Chris, I'm saving another date, too.
You're taking a date with you.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Last week on my favorite poker podcast, Andy Up, I heard an ad for a wonderful poker cruise sailing out of lovely Port Canaveral. And, you know, the wife said, you know, Scott, you've been working hard. I've been working much harder than you. Thanks, wife. Yeah. And she's probably right. But, you know, I want a vacation.
Yeah.
I want to go sit on the beach and drink Mai Tais and pina coladas.
Cool.
And I said, we all want to do that here, but some of us are running businesses and can't get away for an entire week. And that's when a light bulb went off, Chris. And I'm like, hey, how about going on a poker cruise? And you know what? She fell for it.
Oh, man.
But she wasn't even drunk.
She must be really desperate to get away for her to go to a poker cruise with you. She must be like, I need a break, man. Scott, go do what you got to do. I'll be on the promenade deck, sipping Mai Tais, ignoring you.
Maybe the Lido deck.
Lido deck, whatever deck it is that she wants to go.
Exactly.
Well, good for you, man. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait to hear the stories. There's a show right there.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a WPT APL. It's their second annual cruise. They have a big $100 buy-in tournament as part of it, and then lots of other poker. And
that's a great. And what was the price? It was like three.
Yeah, it was like $361 plus $100 for the tournament.
That's awesome.
Not bad. A little 3-night tour. So
great idea.
So we're looking forward to it. And of course, yeah, like I said, when we get back, hijinks will be shared with the Antioch Nation. And if any of you are looking for a vacation.
Yeah,
it's pretty
join them.
Join
Scott for, you know, for
you can hang out with me on
pittance.
The Lido deck. And your wife can hang out with my wife on the promenade deck.
I can already hear the parking stories coming from this. You know, over at Port Canaveral, trying to find a place to park the MR2 or whatever it is you're going to drive over there. You know.
Yeah, you can't put a lot of luggage in that little...
No, I guess you'll have to take the
other... We'll be taking the Ford Focus.
The Ford Focus. That was... I have fond memories of that car driving around the state of Florida for... 63 hours with you. So that's cool. I look forward to hearing what you have to say about it. Enjoy. I hope you win. Hope you win lots of money. I hope Laura gets enough rest that she lets you continue to do the business with me.
Yes, that would be nice.
And
that's probably a big upside for you.
You know, wives are always doing things for husbands.
Wives are nice.
And I think that's my wife does all kinds of stuff for me, and I love her for it.
I still don't really understand that, but
yeah, I don't know what she sees in me either.
But respect her.
I'm totally grateful. And another wife that I know of, Jennifer Garner.
Yes. It'd be nice if we could share her as a wife.
I don't know what that means.
You don't want to go there, because you're going to get your...
Yeah, I...
You're going to get kicked by Gene.
Yeah, I'm not even...
Laura would just roll her eyes at that.
Yeah, I'm not even...
But she's a very cute girl, and Ben Affleck's a very lucky man.
Yeah. Somebody said I looked like Ben Affleck once, and I almost punched him. it was just recently,
and
too.
And everybody else sitting around, we laughed.
And it was my mom.
Yeah,
it was my mom who said it, too. So I'm like, wow. I do not look like Ben Affleck. Please.
All right, well, initially, you know, I've been a big fan of Jennifer Garner. But initially she says she tried to get our good friend Ben Affleck to quit playing poker. Now, you know, he's playing poker ever since probably Matt Damon started in Rounders. And he won that big California State Poker Championship a couple years ago.
Right.
Getting training, and now all of a sudden he gets married to this wonderful woman. She says, hey, put the cards down.
Oh, you can't ask that.
Exactly. So then she finally, but she wised up, Chris.
Okay.
And she realized you can't tell your man what to do.
Okay.
He's not going to change. Got to change it before you get married.
Well, he did take a break, though.
Yeah.
I remember him taking a break.
Yeah, but, you know, he was playing the trust fund game with Worm, so. But she probably walked in the bathroom, found his role, and then, went from there. But now she's embraced it, and she decided that she built, or is having built, a huge poker suite in their lovely Garner Affleck abode.
In Boston?
I don't know where it is, actually.
I think it's Boston.
That makes sense, yeah.
That's where they live.
Because she wants him to be able to play, but she wants him to be able to play where she'd keep an eye on him.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, maybe. But she's building this huge, she says it's going to look exactly like a private high roller suite at the Bellagio.
Well, let me ask you this.
Is where he likes to play a lot.
So I assume then that there will be cameras and a leash in this suite, right? There's going to be cameras so she can keep an eye on him, just like the eye in the sky at the Bellagio.
Oh, man.
Wow. I mean, at one part of you wants you to say, oh, that's really awesome. That's really sweet of her to do that. That's really cool. But then you're thinking, ulterior motive?
Well, yeah. We have to give her credit for at least doing that.
And then you have to have your buddies over, and I'm sure he doesn't have that many buddies in where he lives that will come over and play poker in his suite. That
I'm guessing when Ben Affleck gets on the phone, you take the call. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just guessing.
Hey man, give me a call. I'd like to try out your money. Yeah. I want to see this suite.
Yeah, you'll show up with you'll forget your dealer tote because you don't have any cash on you.
Well, you said it was like the Bellagio suite. Isn't there an ATM in there for me to use? And I better not get charged that 10% crap either.
Well, she's got to pay for the poker suite somehow. They got another kid on the way.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God.
So that is one way to combat the live poker industry. And now the live poker industry needs to come back. And I wonder if Bellagio will try to steal Ben's business back from the suite.
Mm-hmm.
But in France, they are trying... The government there is trying to help their local poker industry combat the online poker industry, which is taking the world by storm.
What are they doing?
What the French government is suggesting is that French casino operators be allowed to have poker tournaments outside of their own establishments, Chris.
Well, that's weird.
I don't know. Weird is the right word, but...
So what are they going to do? Like something. Send like a dealer and like a floor man and some chips... like on the road to your house and have a home game where they'll deal it for you? Or
I don't know, but I'm just guessing if I ran a French casino like the Aviation Club, like I often dream about running, that I would maybe have a poker tournament at the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, okay.
To a city in France that did not have a poker room.
The Champs-Élysées?
No, that's actually a road in Paris.
I know, but you could do it under the arch of the Champs-Élysées, right?
You could do that.
You could host it right there.
Yeah, exactly.
As Lance Armstrong comes by.
Ah, very nice.
During the Tour de France with his champagne and bubbles and yellow jersey.
Well, if there's anything, the most creative people in the world are the people that run casinos, and I think they would find a way to maximize this this change in law. Of course, obviously, they want more. Cause I don't know how that really helps you compete too much with online.
It's just another way for them to make money.
But as a player in France, I would think that would open up some opportunities to play if you sadly live in a city where there's no casino or no legal poker room anywhere.
That's pretty cool.
Once a year, they bring a nice little turnaround. Something.
Well, I mean, it's just another way for poker to expand. And unlike the stuff that we talked about last week where everyone got a black eye from the news, this is a positive thing. And hope it spreads through Europe. You know, maybe we'll be able to, play poker at under Big Ben someday, and
Big
White Cliffs of Dover.
Big Ben's like the tower, right? It's not the clock. It's the clock, not the tower. That's what it is. It's the clock, not the tower.
Big Ben's the clock.
See, I remember that a long time ago. Now, of course, I forgot.
We could play on London Bridge. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, which one? The real one or the...
The real one.
The one over in Arizona now?
No, the real one. Not the one in Arizona.
You could do a London Bridge poker tour.
Two stops.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you have entrepreneurs creating their own London Bridges to get a poker tournament.
Oh, my God.
That would be awesome. See, somebody's going to run with that now.
Oh, man. Hey, remember last week when the phone was totally lit up and then we thought the phone calls were, we were wishing they were for us?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this week they're lit up again. And this time I'm positive it's for us because there are a lot of calls regarding this issue from our hotline.
Oh, okay.
So it's a Donkey Gear hotline. The phone number is 813-448-1120. And Donkey Gear offers pokerware geared towards those who like to be the donkey or those trying to call out the donkey. But it's more than just funny t-shirts. There are hats and poker chips, tables, dealer buttons, cards, books, poker tables, and other accessories. So check it out at www.donkeygear.net or just donkeygear.net.
Very good.
And if you send us something, we will send you something from them. So today, Stuart from D.C. is the proud owner of a shirt when we get to send it to him.
Yeah.
And what does the shirt say, Scott?
This donkeygear.net t-shirt reads, "I'm a donkey, so what?" Right in the face, Chris. Just say, "Hey." Yeah, I took your chips with that King 3 offsuit pre-flop raise call.
I love it. let's listen to his clip and then we'll react.
Hello, Scott and Chris. This is Stuart from D.C. Responding to the discussion you guys had about table hopping. Well, I'm not going to comment on the actual ethical problem posed. I would just say that, Chris, your position was entirely undermined by your fundamental misunderstanding of what ethics is. And in fact, inasmuch as you seem to believe that nothing that is not illegal is not unethical, and therefore must believe that everything that is legal is ethical, you have forwarded your personal sense of right and wrong into the hands of others, in other words, those who write and enforce the laws. And I think a lot of people would say that's a fundamentally unethical position. So, whether you care about the abstractions or not, just wanted to make the observation. Good job.
Chris, I love it. I love it when our listeners just lash you. And you know why? Not just because I like the fact that people lashing you. That in itself makes my day. But I opened our little podcast file, and I saw your little notes about how you're going to respond, and it's exactly what I knew was going to happen. Don't tell me what I believe. I'll tell you what I believe. So go ahead. Get your rant out of the way. I'm
going
to sit back here, and I'm going to chuckle my head off like all the other anti-up nationals while you go on and play a little Star Spangled Band in the background of your why I'm defending what I say. Go ahead.
Well, anyway.
Don't keep us waiting. Keep going.
I totally understand where he's coming from. And it may
oh, you're softening it now.
And it may have, I'm going to get into what I'm going to say.
Okay, all right.
But I did make it sound as if legality and ethics were, you know, hand in hand.
And I was shocked by that.
And I didn't mean it to sound like that. What I was trying to say was that in this instance, it's like you're trying to put a time frame on ethics. And I don't know what time limit. All of a sudden, now it's ethical to walk away.
Okay.
And so if you're taking time and saying, okay, well, it's ethical at 4 more hands to leave, or it's ethical when you lose back $10, or it's ethical when you do 3 more orbits, or it's ethical when you say, hey, guys, I just won 3 pots. I'm going to fold for a whole orbit and then leave. At what point does it become ethical? You cannot tell me when it's ethical. This was the part I was talking about. You know, check raising. A lot of people think check raising is unethical.
Exactly.
There
okay.
used to be signs right. posted in facilities that said check raising not allowed.
Yep.
But of course it's allowed. And of course it's a main thing of the game. But people think it's unethical to check to someone who's the raiser and then to raise them. Are you going to do it? Of course you're going to do it. It's a huge thing. And I'm not saying that I would actually do this. You know, I'm not saying that I would. I'm not sure. It would take the situation for what it was and then make my decision. But I obviously have been a journalist for 20 years and know what ethics means and what legality means. I know they're not exactly the same. It just sounded to me as if it was taboo the way you were putting it. And I thought, you know what? It's not illegal for me to do this. And okay, these guys may hate it and maybe unsportsmanlike. But at what point do you make it ethical? Or not ethical? Tell me when it's ethical to leave, then. That's the answer I want.
Well, see, that's why there's ethics and there's laws, because ethics, you can't put...
Exactly.
It's different for everyone, and that's why we debate them, and that's why we have a show.
And exactly, which is why I was saying that if you can't tell me at what point it's ethically acceptable with the players at that table at that given time, then whenever I choose to leave is not unethical.
Okay.
That's what I was saying, just because you can't put time on it. And that was what I was saying. And so, yeah, I listened to it again, and it did sound like I was making it sound like if it's not illegal, it's ethical. And that's not true. That's not, because obviously as journalists, we can't, you know, we don't accept gifts for people, you know, and then give them favorable things. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's totally unethical. It's not illegal, but it's unethical. And I know all about ethics. I took a media law and ethics class, and I'm just saying that when you're trying to put it to time, and let's face it, we're talking about gambling and ethics. You know what I mean? It's like
okay,
it's a fine line already. Okay, So, you know, I mean, you had your little laugh, Scott, but really, really, I mean, I totally agree with him. Legalities and ethics are not the same thing, and I don't think that way. But I do think they go hand in hand. I mean, I do think that there's a fine line in there that, you know, they're cousins of each other. Let's say that.
Okay, cousins.
But I can't put a time
kissing
limit.
Cousins.
Kissing cousins. But I can't put a time on ethics, so you can't put a time on me. So whenever I choose to leave, it's not unethical. That's how I feel. It's not unethical. You know, it may be unsportsmanlike. It may suck to you. You may hate it because you lost the pot to me. But it's really not unethical. You know, slow rolling, it's not unethical to slow roll someone. You're a jerk, and it sucks, but it's not unethical to slow roll. Okay. You're unsportsman, but unsportsmanlike is not ethics.
There we go. Okay.
You know?
Well, Stuart, I got to say, I appreciate you, if nothing else, making Chris go back and listen to the clip and realize that he was probably saying stuff that he didn't mean. So for that, and just the fact that you called, you get your loveadonkeygear.net t-shirt, and we'll send it out. And I wish we could give everybody that calls a donkeygear.net t-shirt, but we can only give one a week.
Right.
But we got a lot of response, and our good friend Erwin went to this trouble of taping an MP3 himself because the Skype wouldn't work, and sent it. So we're going to go ahead and play that. It's about the same issue.
Yeah.
And we'll dig deep into the Annie Up secret swag closet and see what we can find something else.
It'll be a surprise.
To ship out. Yeah. To the
beware, Erwin, when you open our package.
It's not going to be a package because the package, I got to fill out these custom forms and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I hate that. I'm going to slip into an envelope.
Yeah.
Beware
the Annie Up envelope.
Yep.
All right, let's listen to this.
I say nothing wrong with that. Any arguments like, well, you should give other people a chance to win back their money. Well, it's not their money anymore. If I win it, it's my money. And if I lose it, it's their money. So yeah, if you clean out half the tables, you should get so lucky. Yeah, pick up your winnings and leave if you like to. No reason to give other people a chance to get their money back. It's the way I play Pot Limit Omaha. I'm buying for the minimum. I try to double up. And if that happens within the first round, that has happened before, that even the third or second hand, even the first hand I come in, I doubled up. I wait for the blinds and go pick up my winnings and go to the next table buying for the minimum. I think it's an integral part of the game to be able to do that. If you clean out the table, the money is yours.
All right, so someone's on my side.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah.
Right? He's essentially on my side.
And you know, here's the best thing about when Erwin calls. Doesn't he not sound like Sean Connery?
No.
Really?
No, he sounds like Goldmember.
I was listening to it, and I'm like, you know, I'm happily married. Erwin's happily married. So, but if, you know, if circumstances ever change, I'm hopping on a plane to the Netherlands, and we're going to hit the bar district in the Netherlands, and I'm going to get his runoff because women are just going to hear him and go, oh my God, that's Sean Connery.
Okay, now let's step back for a second, okay? First of all, everyone talks like that over there, so they're not going to be affected by it at all.
All right, well, I'll bring him over here then.
Yeah, you'd have to bring him here. And second of all, no, he doesn't sound like Sean Connery. That's Scottish. He sounds like the Mike Myers character, Goldmember.
No.
All right, so that's it. There's a poll. I'm putting this on the site. There's a poll. Who does Erwin sound like when you listen to this clip?
All right.
Go back, let's do it again.
But you probably made up your mind when you heard it.
Yeah, yeah. Who does he sound like? Does he sound like Sean Connery, or does he sound like Mike Myers doing Goldmember?
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 Minute Mystery. The Case of the Oversized Duffel Bag. We are in level 3 of a 5-table multi-table tournament where starting stack sizes are not deep and it's important to accumulate chips. The action folds all the way around to me in the small blind and I raise it to 2x big blind. I know that most players hate modifying down to 2.5 big blind this early, but sometimes you make little mistakes. After all, it is blind versus blind, and I'm not going to get credit for a hand no matter what.
Sometimes you do things just to see what happens.
Thank goodness the big blind calls, otherwise we wouldn't have a show. Oh, did I mention I have King 9 here? The flop comes down, 10, 2, 9, rainbow. Not a bad flop as I hit middle pair. Why not try a C-bet of about half the pot?
My wife loves to try new things.
So I bet the 150, and he calls. The pot is now 500. I have about 2.7k behind. The turn is the 7 and a second club. I had read my previous calls weak, so I decide to fire a second barrel. I choose to bet 350 into the 500, and again he smooth calls. The pot is now 1,200.
He's putting a lot at risk, isn't he, sir? I mean, why not just leave it and run? Instead, he sticks around. Why?
The river deals another 7 to the table, and the board pairs. I have about 2,400 left, and the pot is 1,200. I decide for a value blocking bet of just under 800.
Sort of a defensive posture, really, sir.
But after a short delay, he shoves all in. Pot odds be darned. If I call here and I am wrong, my tournament is over. So, what's your read?
The new and improved Antiup store is now open, just in time for all those holiday wish lists. With markups just 10% above Cafe Press's base prices, stock up today on Antiup shirts, hats, gifts, and more, and all of Antiup's logos. Go to antiupmagazine.com, click on Shop tab, and order today. Send us a photo of you wearing the Antiup colors, and you just might find yourself in Antiup Magazine.
Wow, this is a big call. I actually stop and say, wow, this is a big call.
This would be a big call.
Despite it being a five-table, multi-table tournament, this reminds me of one of those big Kenny Tran pauses in the action where he wants to make the big call with his ace high just because he's absolutely sure something's wrong. Despite that, I have to make a more scientific decision. Let's review quickly. Battle of the blinds. Called pre-flop. Called 10 high flop. Then called again when a 7 fell, which maybe formed some gut shot or flush draw. And even if he had 6-8, when the 7 pairs, he's still willing to bet. If he had any hand at all and the board pairs the river, why would he not be glad to get the showdown? Is it conceivable he slow played a set? Then why not re-raise pre-flop with 10-10 or 9-9? And if he had 2-2, why not raise the turn? I know the lesson of the pepper beef, but the only hand that makes sense here is ace-king running me down. And even that's poor. The only hands I could put him on that would not have raised before the river would not shove the river because they could easily be beat.
We certainly have information. Ooh, no doubt about that.
There are times in your life when you need to make a big call. And you really need to appreciate how hard it's going to be when it comes up. But when you build a history of a hand and nothing makes sense, sometimes you might just have to make that big call on instinct. I make the call, and after showing my 9s and 7s, he mucks King 8 and hits the rail. The only thing I could think of is that it was a bluff the whole way and he expected me to check the turn and he could take it away from me. But when I bet, instead of mucking her raising, he made a mistake and called. A huge mistake, as it turns out, because the turn would have been a far more effective bluff. Once I fired the third barrel, he must know I have a hand worthy of a showdown. Until next time, this is Columbo reminding you that if you're going to tell a story with your betting, it had better be a credible one.
I think our detective did a good job here of solving his case in just the right amount of time and made a good call. You know, I mean, you and I agreed that we probably would fold.
Yeah.
But he put the story together.
No, yeah, I give him kudos for putting it together, and I give him kudos for having the kahunas to actually act on it.
Kahunas.
And that's probably what separates me. It's probably what's holding me back.
Yeah, I think it is, too. That's it. That's,
I think it made a lot of sense, but I'm still not going to
That's the
risk
one,
my tournament.
One on. Thing keeping you it from is. Poker
that's
stardom
exactly.
is kahunas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, well, good job, Columbo. Nice nice call there. And I was right, though. It was a poor float, so that was pretty cool, too. It's not just a dealer button. It's more than a tournament timer. It's Pro Dealer Button, and it's a synchronized poker game management system. The buttons talk to each other, so every table in your home game is on the same page at all times. Pre-order yours today at ProDealerButtons.com. Use the code ANTIUP05 and save 5% on your order.
Hey, this is AJ Benz, and you're listening to ANTIUP. Same. Ain't it a bitch?
Here comes part two of our Mike Caro interview. Let me ask you this. What is the final winning affirmation, and what's the story behind it?
I have done that for every seminar I have done for the last 20-some years. And what it is as I end every seminar, and, of course, I'm not a superstitious guy, and I teach my students not to be superstitious. because that's counterproductive and silly. And because if you act on a superstition, that means you're acting in a way that may be against what logic would dictate you do, so you're handicapping yourself. So we don't allow superstition. And I'm not a real fan of affirmations either, and I don't, I'm not too much of a New World type of guy as far as psychology or anything like that, even though I really like to delve into psychology. I think it's kind of in some sense been overtaken, not entirely, but by a lot of people who are just actually ill-suited to the profession because they're trying to find out things about their own nature that are obvious to other people. So the people who would be more likely to take psychology scientifically are the ones who don't go into the field. But that's, now I've offended about half my friends anyway. So, and I won't be able to go to my shrink this week, that's for sure. But that's neither here nor there. So anyway, I look at things in a very objective light, analyze things in serious ways or hope to. But we end with an affirmation that sounds a little bit New Agey. And that is, I say it once, and then the whole audience says it three times together, hopefully loudly. And it is, I am a lucky player. A powerful winning force surrounds me. I am a lucky player. A powerful winning force surrounds me. Now, what this does is it has an actual purpose. And the purpose is that people tend to think that when they're in a game, that they wish they could videotape this because I am going through the worst streak that ever has happened to anybody, and I can't prove it because nobody will believe it. I wish I had a videotape. Everybody's gone through a phase like that.
Right.
Now, they just wouldn't believe it. Well, but and then you tend to complain about your bad luck because you want people to be aware of it so maybe they'll sympathize. They certainly won't empathize, but they might sympathize. Well, they won't. Because what they'll do instead is say, hey, there's someone unluckier than I am. Maybe I can beat that person. And actually, you inspire them to play better against you because they think you're vulnerable. So you don't want to do that. So you don't want to complain about bad luck. And the best way not to complain about bad luck is to get it out of your head and have this affirmation play like a broken record through your head over and over again. I am a lucky player, a powerful winning force surrounds me. What's the powerful winning force? It's the power of probability. It's working on your side because you have the scientific answers. So that's our final affirmation. Of course, there was one seminar I did, and the person left the seminar, went and played, and came back to me and reported. He said, there was a powerful winning force that surrounded me. It was on my right and on my left. It doesn't always go the way you want.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What's your beef with Polaris, the poker bot from the University of Alberta?
I have no beef with it. I am a great fan of anyone who has done that. I know how hard it is because I did it in 1983. And in 1984, ORAC, which is Caro, my name, spelled backwards,
right.
O-R-A-C, played at the World Series of Poker, played on national ABC TV in a $500,000 contest. And my only beef, and in fact, not only do I cheer these people along, I would love to... if they were to ask me anything, I would love to lend any advice I could give. That isn't the issue. The issue is everything that predated the internet, unless it's world history, and in all the, it almost doesn't exist. And so it's like, to me, it's like when you read articles about this on the internet, since this event happened in 24 years ago, it's like it didn't happen because they don't have, it was in scientific magazines at the time and computer magazines, but these aren't widely researched and they haven't really made it to the web yet. So I guess my beef is that, it's sort of like saying, writing an article in 1927 that says Adam Gorf today proved that powered flight was possible by, taking a plane. Well, when it had happened in 1903 with the Wright brothers. But it's kind of the same thing. And that, I guess, I confess, that irritates me a little bit.
So that's it.
Okay.
Well, my beef with that program is just the opposite of a beef. I congratulate them, and I hope they take it to the next step. It would be nice if it were stated that it had been done before, however.
Do you still have ORAC?
I do, but it's on an old Apple III, and I've been planning to bring it out in a new, probably on just a PC, and doing it at a major casino. And I've had many offers to do that over the years, and I had just never done it. I think I proved the point way back then, but it's up to other people to take it to the next step, and they are doing that in a very admirable way. So I'm glad you gave me a chance to clear that up, by the way. It's not something I intended to talk about, but thank you for that, because if anybody has an idea that I have any beef with them, I have no beef. I admire what they're doing, and I hope they continue.
Well, yeah, I didn't really think it was a beef, like you were really, you know, upset with it, but I knew that it had bothered you that...
Yeah, if I'm upset about anything, this is about as upset as I get. So yeah, it's that the internet seems to negate anything that happened unless it made front page of every newspaper before the internet actually became popular, and that was probably when. What can we put a date on that? It started in 1994, maybe. And gradually built to when there's no real date. When do you think it really had critical mass? Maybe around 2000 started to have critical mass.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the internet, you're living the life of the hermit, as you tell us, out in the Ozarks. So
Well, the internet, I love the internet. It's what's allowed me to be this hermit. That's exactly right.
Now, how often do you play on Doyle's Room when you're out there?
I do. I play on Doyle's Room, Scott. I play in a weekly bounty tournament where everybody tries to knock me out and eventually do. Although 2 weeks ago I was second, so
very good.
Almost didn't get knocked out. And I've been at the final table a whole bunch of times. So, but eventually, you know, in a tournament, somebody's going to knock you out when there are hundreds of players. So.
Do you play the five card draw on there?
No, I haven't played it. Five card draw is still my favorite game. I didn't know anybody played it. Do we have a five card draw at Doyle's Room?
Yeah, you do. I actually called
ahead and asked. Hey, everyone, listeners, listen. We're to go to Doyle's Room now and play five card draw. It's the best interpretation of that game in the software. Is the best you'll see anywhere, because it's probably nowhere else, is it?
It's on Stars, I think. I think it's on a couple of sites. But
all right, check it out at Stars too. Then. I didn't know that. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
well, you're worth. You're worth listening to.
Don't tell. Don't encourage him, Mike. Now, I started playing five card draw on my Commodore VIC-20 back when I was like 2 feet tall.
Well, five card draw is kind of a game that you really. It'd be fun to play online, but you really get big advantages from facing down your opponents.
Right.
Okay.
There's a lot of tells involved.
And I got to say, you know, when I was playing it back then, that was the only form of poker I knew because I was a kid, and, you know, Dad didn't want to tell me there were some other games out there, and I loved it. But now, you know, we try it every once in a while in the home game, and it just doesn't seem to have much action to it. Is there something we're missing?
I was a spokesperson for Canadian Mist Whiskey.
Wow.
And they wanted to do tournaments across the country. And so then these were at service organizations, VFW. And what happened was they wanted to do Hold'em, and they found out, you know, except down in the Los Angeles area and Nevada and Texas and the places in the South, and nobody knew how to play that up in Minnesota or Florida. It just wasn't a common game, so they switched over to draw poker. At that time, draw poker was far and away, we took a survey, the most well-known poker game, followed by Seven Stud. Now, that's all changed. You asked about what had happened with all the TV programs coming out and all that on poker. Now there is only one game. It's Hold'em.
Yeah, we know, sadly. Sadly.
And no limit Hold'em. And you go back 7 years ago or 6 years ago, and you couldn't even spread a game of no limit Hold'em. You couldn't get it down. Nobody would play.
How do you brought up the tells, and that's what predominantly your chapter is about in Super System and of course, your book. How do those tells and that advice for a five-card draw relate to, say, other draw games like Badoogie or Deuce to Seven? Do they still, are they still prevalent?
Well, there are very few of those tells that are game-specific.
Okay.
Generally, almost every tell in there, with very few exceptions, applies at least either specifically or by a little bit of broad thinking to every other form of poker. When you shrug your shoulders, you know, that's a negative thing, which means you have a positive hand. When you look away from the cards, away from the action coming, that means you're trying to make it safe for somebody to bet. All those things apply to every game of poker. Even if draw poker were used in some of those examples, and actually it wasn't used in most examples, even in that book, but in some, even if it were, they still apply to all forms of poker. They're not too many tells that are game specific.
Okay. Well, I think I'm remembering a lot of the Super System chapter early on when you're talking to one of your students, and she's saying, "Oh, I know what that person has. He has two pair because of the way he's, you know,
right,
or whatever." So that's what I'm thinking of. Do those kind of tells relate to Badoogie or
yes,
Deuce to Seven?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
I've never lost at Badoogie. I think I played it four times.
Wow.
No, well, but I see how that game's not going anywhere. I don't believe. But I got excited about one day and registered Badoogie1.com.
Really?
Internet site. But that shows you what happens when you win four times in a row.
All right, Mike. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, I appreciate it. And sincerely, you have a great website. It looks like a great magazine. I've only seen it online, but it looks like an exact copy of the print version.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's one of our ways to let our listeners who are outside the state of Florida take a look at it. So,
oh, great. So, Chris and Scott, good to speak with you for the first time. Thank you for having me on, and good luck with your future magazine.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Become a well-rounded rounder. Register today for the Ante Up Horse Course, coming to Sarasota Kennel Club on Saturday, January 31st. For just $249, get winning strategies for Raz, Omaha 8, Stud, and Stud 8, plus an $85 tournament voucher, lunch, a gift bag, and much, much more. Register today at anteupmagazine.com, and we'll teach you how to win in Sarasota.
Did you miss a link on your favorite poker podcast? Or want a preview of the upcoming Ante Up magazine? Go to anteupmagazine.com and subscribe to Ante Up's e-newsletter for free. Just click on the subscribe button, and while you're there, subscribe to Ante Up magazine. Just $25 gets you 12 issues of your favorite poker magazine delivered straight to your door. Subscribe today and win tomorrow. Today's Hand of the Week is brought to you by GreatPokerHands.com and his great Texas Hold'em strategy cards. Correct the single biggest mistake made by Texas Hold'em players. Order yours today at GreatPokerHands.com. Use the code ANTI for 20% off your order. And don't forget to email us your Hand of the Week at podcast@anteupmagazine.com.
Very good.
This week's hand comes from Behringer.
Ooh.
I like that name.
That's a...
Of course, you made that name up. This is a handle name.
Still cool, though.
Still, yeah. Pretty darn cool.
To come up with that, it's pretty cool.
It's cooler
like
than Off Deadline.
Is that a
line? Better than Will Hopper.
Hey, Will Hopper's got a great story behind it. Off Deadline. That's nothing.
Behringer, a wine. I was thinking more like a gun.
Oh,
I'm
yeah. Oh, it's
Behringer.
A Derringer. You're thinking of Derringer.
Maybe it's a...
I think there is a Behringer wine, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not a, you know, what do they call them? A vinophile?
Yeah.
I'm not a vinophile.
Vinophile of some sort.
Yeah.
All right, so quickly, our hero has a little backstory to this hand. He's on full tilt, and they sent him a please come back bonus offer of $100. We've all been there, right?
Yep.
And we end up spending $7,000 trying to get that $100 back.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Behringer says he doesn't hold a grudge. He's always a sucker for free money, but he doesn't think he's ever cleared a bonus with more money in his account than I started.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that, man.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. I've never cleared a bonus, especially on full tilt.
All right, so he's at a 6 max, quarter, 50 cent, no limit hold'em hand.
Okay.
All right, and he's been very aggressive and is up to 64-20 from his starting 30. More than doubled up.
Sweet.
Nice little day. You would hit and run.
Yeah. I'd have been gone.
And not worried about whether it's ethical or legal.
I'd have been gone for a dollar. When I make it to 31 bucks, I'm out of there.
All right, so our hero is raised and then folded to a re-raise several times. His image is aggressive. It is also someone that can be pushed around. All right.
Oh, that's not good. aggressive and you get pushed around?
Well, it's good if you recognize it and then you can act on it.
Right, right.
It's not good if you recognize it and can continue to get pushed
around.
Well,
we'll just see if Behringer capitalizes on his image. Let's
see what happens. Okay.
All right.
One villain, Lizard Man 00. The name of the week. Actually, second name of the week.
Behringer's name of the week. Yeah, definitely.
Lizard Man 00 is pretty new to the table, so may or may not be aware of his image. Then again, for that matter, no one at the table could be. Mm-hmm. May or may not be.
That is absolutely right, especially online.
But the other players have been there quite a while, so we'll give him a benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
All right, on to the action, he says.
Okay.
He has dealt Ace of Spades, Eight of Spades in the cutoff.
Okay.
The end of the gun raises to 3X. We call from the cutoff, the button folds, and both blinds call.
Okay, so we're four-handed, and there's 12 big bets in the pot. Or 12 bets in the pot.
And let me look at the consult our little great poker hand strategy card here.
So we got the Ace of Spades and the Eight of Spades. I'm going to go on a limb and say it's one of those medium hands, but I haven't seen the card.
Medium
so
is not one of the colors. The color is okay, green.
Oh, well, that's so okay.
Right. Yep.
Okay is medium, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
It is the 26th best hand in a six-player hand.
Okay.
See, it's kind of cool. The Great Poker Hands
yeah.
have a little.
I like rank. The way I love the way it ranks it, and yeah. then it also does for how many people are at the table. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So he goes on to say it's an aggressive table, and he's happy to call from late position.
Okay.
Are you?
Well, yeah. I really got to hit it pretty hard here to really want to go further with this hand after the flop because somebody's raising under the gun could easily have me dominated here.
Exactly. So I think you're playing for the flush.
Yeah, I'm playing for the flush or two pair. If I just hit the ace, I'm real cautious. But, you know, I don't have any imagination because we're terrible hosts of this show. So,
but 3X in a cash game, I'm willing to
absolutely.
To
with position, because I'm in the cutoff and I'm probably gotten the button's probably folding. Sure. I'll take it and act last. Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. So the flop is the Four of Spades, King of Spades, Queen of Hearts.
That's cool.
Played for the flush and we're
almost
close. There.
Yeah, we're four-fifths of the way there.
Yep. Okay. So it's checked to him. So interesting, the 3X.
Wow. Everybody checks around
under
me.
The gun raiser check. Now, to me, that's when I start thinking either that under the gun guy has a monster, like he's got a set and he's waiting for some idiot like us to come behind and try to take it down and he's going to swoosh in, or he was playing some crappy hand.
Sounds like he's got jacks.
Under the gun and then just decided, you know, hey.
He's got jacks and he's afraid of that flop of the two overs.
Exactly.
That's what it sounds like.
Is my assessment right? It's one of those two, probably.
Although a set, I may still bet out because it looks fishy not betting. And with two straight cards out there and two flush cards, I probably would still bet to protect my set. So I'm leaning toward under cards,
jacks
to
and
the
tens.
Yeah,
I like
something
that.
Like that,
or just crap. You know, like a
yeah, or just
seven.
Or just yeah, just some. But I don't see a monster here, to be honest.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
It's so it's checked to us. We're in last position, obviously.
Well, I want to bet here for a couple of reasons. I like to bet my draws like this, especially when I'm drawn to the nuts like this. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I don't want to just win 12 bets here. You know, I'm playing this hand to make it. You know, I want to win some money
this
if
is
I
a
make
stack
it.
Hand, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the kind of hand where you get someone to commit. Like, say he has ace-king, and or, you know, I'm not saying he has that, or he does have a set, and you can get all his money. So, yeah, I'm looking to put some money in the pot and see where I am, and also, if I take it down, I'm happy, and if not, I've got a lot of outs. So yeah, I'll bet like half the pot here.
Okay.
Would you bet that much? Or would you just be free to happy see free card?
That's normally what I would bet in that situation. And again, you know, I'd be happy to take it down here, and if I get called, I've got huge outs.
Yeah.
And half size bet's good. I mean, the pot's $6 here.
Yeah, and I'd bet like $3.
And that's exactly what our hero does.
Sweet.
See? So
sweet.
We're all on the same train right now. Same track.
Yeah, and that can't be a good thing, though, because otherwise he wouldn't be submitting his hand. So if we're all doing the same thing he's doing, we're not thinking on another level, I think. But I like the play so far.
Now, he did say he almost checked for a free card, and that's an interesting choice I think a lot of people come to. I mean, if you're going for the flush, you want the free card because that's
right.
What you're trying to do is trying to generate so you get free cards to hit.
Right.
But in this case, I think what we talked about was kind of right there. I mean, it's try to take it down here, late position, make use of our position.
Yeah, kind of like representing the king or the queen. And then if that doesn't work, you've got a lot of outs and the ace in case that guy does have jacks.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we bet three. What happens?
But he ultimately decides to try to build a pot with this very strong draw. Very good.
Okay, cool.
All right. Now the small blind re-raises to 14-15 all in.
Wow.
All his children. It gets better, Chris.
Okay.
The big blind calls. Ooh. So these two people called the three x-rays beforehand.
Wow.
Go for less because they're in the blinds.
Wow.
Then they get this flop, and then they check to the razor. The original razor doesn't bet. We bet, and now...
Now the blinds are
all
in
and the call. What the hell's going on here?
And what does the under the gun do? The under gun's got to be out of the hand now, right?
Yeah, he's got to say, because he says the pot's 37-30 when he gets back to him. So,
yeah.
So I'm guessing
so
that guy
the under gun had to have folded. Well, we're getting more than 2-1 on our money, right? We only have to call $11 to win 37, so we're getting more than 3-1 on our money to hit the nut flush. We have to call.
Yeah, and one player that's left is all in, yeah, so we're essentially heads up now.
And what does the big blind
have
for stack?
I knew you were going to ask me that. let me figure out the...
Damn you, Cosenza.
The big blind. Oh, yeah, that was Lizard Man. He had 42.95 to start.
All right. So we have him covered.
Yeah, we have him covered.
We'd still have about $22 after the hand if we ended up going broke with him, but... Not going broke, but him going all in. But more than 3-1 on my hand with a nut flush draw and a half position, I'm calling. I'm not shoving, but I'm calling.
Yeah.
And then I can get away from it on the turn if I don't like the card. You know, and this guy shoves after that, then I'll get away from it or something. So, all right,
yeah,
I call.
Exactly. Board pairs or something where we're
yeah.
near, then we're
I call.
Be drawing dead. All right, very good. All right, so we all agree again. Our hero calls for 11-15.
Not good.
All right, we're going to have to disagree at some point here. All right, now he says this is exactly what he's been folding to all day. However, I'm getting 3-1 and could win huge. Should I raise?
It's better than 3-1, too.
Yeah, I don't think there's any case to be raising here.
No.
Obviously, we're behind.
Yeah. We have nothing right now. We just have a great chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just calling. Did he call?
He did call.
Okay.
And so the turn now is the 5 of hearts. And again, to recap, the board now is 4 of spades, king of spades, queen of hearts, 5 of hearts. So now there's a new flush draw out there.
Boo.
That I guess I'm not really too worried about that.
No.
I'm thinking if we're beat already, it's not by somebody that has hearts.
No. But, we can't like that. We can't really like that. If any kind of bet comes out now, we have to really think about implied odds. And the other thing is if someone bets here and we call, are we really going to get this guy stack if a spade falls now?
Yeah.
So,
All right. So it takes a little turn here. The big blind moves all in for 27.30. So now the implied odds are out of the way.
Yeah,
we don't have to worry about taking a stack because the stack is already committed.
Mm.
But that's a pretty big
we're getting only 2-1.
Chunk to put into a pot that's now 75-75.
2.5-1 on one card to come. I got to fold. You have to fold. I mean, unless you're just
We put
loose.
A lot of money in, but that's twice as much as we've already put in, I think.
Yeah, right? It's just not worth it.
And we have to hit...
you have to just spade
9 cards, and we're not even sure all those are good.
Right, if the board pairs, if it's like the queen of spades, you could lose. So you really only have 8 outs. And, I'd have to lay it down here. I'm assuming he calls, because why would he send it in if he laid it down?
All right, so first of all, he says he feels Scott's pain on this one. Well, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. I appreciate when people say feel my pain.
I never feel your pain.
He says he actually didn't see it coming, as I generally play tournaments in the big blind. I would normally just check it down. That's, you know... Kind of one of those things you kind of forget about, but yeah, you're right. In a tournament, you get it all in, and somebody gets all in, you just check it down. But in a cash game, you win stacks.
They want more money.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he says, regardless of that, can I call or tuck my tail in again?
Mm,
the fly, I think the odds are slightly against, but any spade, and I have the nuts.
Not any spade.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is a different situation than putting your tail between your legs and a flop and getting 3.5-1 on your money than not even getting 3-1 on your money with one card to come. And no implied odds. This is a different situation than, I would fold.
All right. He says, now sees that they were worse than I thought. Still on this on lines. This stuff happens all the time. See,
nope,
now he's playing to you.
No comment. No comment.
All right. He decides to make the crying call. I'm with you. I would have folded. So we take the different tracks here.
Yeah.
What do you think the small blind is showing here? He was all in initially.
He was all in early. He's probably all in preparing. It's either
check raise all in on the flop.
Yeah, it's either Jack 10, a smaller flush, or like a king.
Okay. You were right, Jack 10.
Yep. Wow.
And this is a busted draw.
I'm on my game today, baby.
And the big blind that was pushing our action here, making us.
Hey, was he have like king, queen, this guy?
That's exactly what he has.
Oh, my God.
Flop to a pair.
Man, I'm on fire.
Yeah, not bad.
This is not... I have no idea what this hand is. I don't have it in front of me. I have nothing. Total guess right there. That's what he had. Wow. Got both hands. That's pretty cool. Too bad I can't do this when I'm playing for real money. So he calls. What came on the end?
The river is the 10 of diamonds.
Yeah.
Missed our draw.
Missed our draw. Yeah, you really probably should have.
Damn that lizard man 0-0.
But we can cheer you up.
That is true. You will be getting a great set of greatpokerhands.com Texas Hold'em strategy cards.
Yep.
Probably wouldn't have helped you here because the card probably told you it was okay.
Yeah.
But in the future, they certainly will help you.
Absolutely.
Particularly as you transition from tournament to cash games. So go to greatpokerhands.com, get your own set. Remember to use ANTI as your code, say 20%.
Excellent.
And send us your hands of the week.
I want to thank Mike Caro again for just an incredibly entertaining and informative interview.
He was
and,
an amazing guest.
Thanks
so
for,
amazing that it took 2 weeks.
Yeah, incredible. And thanks for everybody who came back and tuned in to listen to that. And another good show.
That's true.
I am Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's Chris Cosenza from Annie Up Magazine and Annie Up Podcast. How are you?
How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm great. I'm talking to you. This is a great day.
Well, likewise. I'm here in the Ozarks, living the life of a hermit on a lake with 41 acres, communing every day with the furry creatures, and only coming out and asking them poker questions, by the way.
Well, I did a lot of research, but I did not research your personal life.
Oh, so you don't know about the 20 years in prison or
no.
anything?
Don't know that.
All right. Well, let's just not put that in.